That's right. Good morning, everybody. Hey, I've got a very special guest with me here this morning. He's one of the big dogs in the talk radio business with over 500 affiliates. I am a lowly one right here in Greenwood. I have Jim Bohannon. How you doing today, Jim?
I'm doing great, Ann. How are you?
I'm good. Let's see. You've been working last night and working this morning.
Absolutely.
And I tell you what, the news, I thought it would be great timing to talk to you about some of the news stories. You get so many different perspectives out there, talking to all the different guests that you do right here on the Jim Bohannon Show, that I was wondering, what are you thinking is going to be the eventual outcome of Hillary Clinton and her server? I heard this morning that she upgraded her server in 2013, so the server they have isn't even the server that maybe stuff got transferred to, et cetera.
Yeah, and there was some erasures that took place. You know, I thought for the longest time that she was the ultimate Teflon candidate and that so many Democrats just simply felt it's her turn, I don't want to hear about this, as they had said about Whitewater, and as they had said about Benghazi, and as they had said about a host of other problems. But I don't know. You know, I'm beginning to wonder now. I had a guest on last night who offered the thought that, first of all, Joe Biden will get into the race. Second, that Elizabeth Warren, the senator from Massachusetts, will get back in the race after she decided she would not run. And this guy thinks that Hillary will have to drop out. So you never know. Maybe she's finally found some ethical and legal problems that she can't surmount.
Yeah, I just wonder, because she's been so cool about this server and everything, right?
Yeah, hadn't she though?
but her numbers definitely seem to be changing some. Do you think that Hillary suffers from an oversized ego?
Oh, every person who runs for president has an oversized ego, although even in that group she may be in a class by herself. But her numbers, I mean, she still has a dominating lead. Let's not forget that. And after all, Bernie Sanders is only beating her in a neighbor state. I mean, Vermont is right next door to New Hampshire. So, again, if nothing more comes out of this and she just stonewalls and weathers the storm and nobody brings indictments and the like, I think she could very well survive it, as I've said before, to get the Democratic nomination. In the general election, I think she's got major problems, almost regardless of who the Republicans nominate.
Well, what do you think as far as... I just lost my thought.
Well, do you think, though? It'll probably show up in a milk carton, Ed.
Probably it will. But what do you think, though? Let's turn over to the Republicans. Do you think Donald Trump has staying power? That's the $64,000 question, or maybe we better say the $64 billion question.
Yeah, I got to keep some numbers that are of interest to him. No, the short answer is no, I don't think so. I mean, this is a guy who finds a way to say the wrong thing. I mean, when he first declared for the presidency, I went over his statement point by point about Mexicans and illegals and the like. Everything he said was on target except for the one about their rapists, and he didn't offer any proof that illegals rape more than other people. But mostly that statement was correct. Then John McCain gets on his case and says Trump is stirring up the Republican Party crazies. Now, there must have been half a dozen things that Trump could have said in reply, like, well, gee, John, maybe Republicans want to win this time. He manages to come up with the one guaranteed to put egg on his face. He's not my kind of veteran. He got caught. And then he gets into the debate, and he gets all whiny about perfectly legitimate questions. For example, questions about his bankruptcy. Well, heck, his major claim to being executive material is how he's run his business. Well, if you've run a business and you've had more than one bankruptcy, that's a legitimate question. And likewise, the questions about some statements he's made about women. Those are legitimate questions. And so he says Megyn Kelly had blood coming out of her eyes and blood coming out of her wherever. Oh, please. I mean, you know, now he's trying to claim that he didn't mean that at all. Yeah, right. You know, if I said right now, Ann, if he doesn't like what I'm saying about him, he can kiss my... Now, everybody who thinks the word ears is what I had in mind, raise your hand. We know perfectly well what he meant, and so does everybody else. I mean, Trump has said some good things, but this is a guy who finds a way to say the wrong thing. I mean, he's a guy who tries to clear a minefield by putting on a blindfold and snowshoes and stomping ahead. And that's not what I want in the Oval Office. Unless he can show that he has some connection between his brain and his mouth, he's not my guy. And I'm not going to cater to the gross national temper tantrum of all these people out there, we want change. Well, really, what kind of change did you have in mind?
Well, it is interesting that it's all kind of coming to a head right now, isn't it, Jim?
Well, I mean, it's coming to head early. Let's not forget we're nowhere near the Iowa caucuses. I mean, I don't see him with staying power. I really don't. And I'll tell you something else I don't see him with. I do not see him, even with all of his ego, I don't think he wants his political legacy to be, I elected Hillary, which is to say, I don't think he's going to run as a third-party candidate.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about yesterday afternoon. Do you really want that? Would he go in that direction? Yeah. Well, who do you like in this election?
I'll guarantee you this. Such as his following, he would guarantee the election of Hillary Clinton. Guarantee it.
Right.
I don't think he wants that to be his legacy.
Well, if he's truly interested in, what shall we say, saving the country, turning this country around, that definitely would not be the way to do it.
No, it certainly wouldn't. And as I say, I really think that some things Trump, even his, pardon the verb, Trump, even his ego. So, no, I don't think he'll run as a third-party candidate. I really don't. But I don't think he's getting the nomination either. I think people will grow tired of the temper tantrum act.
Well, have you noticed, though, this week, you know, he has gotten some, he has got some points that he is putting out there now rather than railing against everything.
Well, he has begun to offer a few specifics of things that he would institute as president. Although some of his specifics aren't very specific, I'd replace Obamacare with something better. It'd be awesome. I mean, that's not really quite what I had in mind by specifics. You can get to a Bobby Jindal, for example, or a Scott Walker. They have actual specifics. So again, it's original amateur time from a guy who's got a lot more in the way of nerve and mouth than anything else, and he'd be better than any Democrat who's running, but that's about all I think he'd be better than.
Well, who do you like, Jim?
It could happen. It's happened before.
No. Who do you like? Who are you looking at?
Oh, who do
at?
I like? I yes. said. I thought you said maybe I'm right. At this juncture, Mike Huckabee is very impressive. I just saw Mike not long ago in Seneca, South Carolina.
Right.
I think he's impressive. I think Scott Walker is very impressive. Those were two for openers.
Okay.
And Marco Rubio. Let me add Marco Rubio right up there.
What do you think about Carly?
Carly is very impressive. She did look very good in the initial debate. She came out with something yesterday that I don't think does her any good, and certainly not with me, and that is that she thinks it ought to be up to a parent to decide whether or not their children get vaccinated, and which is essentially to say, you know, if you're somebody who lives in the 13th century, then it should be just fine to send your kids to school and carry a little epidemic to hand to my kids. I don't buy that.
I agree with you on that one for sure. I like Carly, I mean, but when we see her, but the thing that I think she comes across so measured. We don't see her as a, I don't see her as a human. I see her as very measured. There's not much, what shall we say, warm and fuzzy there.
Well, there hasn't been much warm and fuzzy, but I think you have to remember something about women running for executive positions. I think we are still unliberated enough that most women have to feel that they have to demonstrate that they're man enough for the job, and that's unfortunate. But I think that a guy can get away with warm and fuzzy, whereas a woman will just be tabbed as soft and squishy. That's unfair. That's a double standard, but I think it is there, so I understand her dilemma.
Yeah. I mean, I do too, but that's I would like to see a little more humanism out of Carly. But She certainly was.
She's pushing competence, of course. That's her big stock in trade. I've run a huge company. I've done really well. I can run things, and that's pretty much the thing that she's pushing. I don't think that anyone has probably pointed out to her what you've just said, although I think it's a good point.
Yeah. How about Ben Carson?
Ben Carson is a former guest on my program. Very bright, very thoughtful. I would note that thoughtful is a very good quality in a president. It is not necessarily a good quality in a presidential candidate. He did well at the debate. He's obviously smart, but as I say, smarts are not enough. He has shown enough instincts that I think he can hang in there, and certainly he has only gone up since the debate. He's number two in Iowa now. So Ben Carson is going to be a force to be reckoned with.
You know, Jim, I was having a discussion with someone the other day, and they were talking about that it's really the billionaires that get to decide who gets to run for the general election.
There's no cabal of people who decide who gets to run for the general election. I mean, the Republican Party electorate is going to decide that.
But
and the Democratic Party electorate.
But isn't it the fact of the money and who gets pushed into and who picks up the most? Like, isn't Bernie Sanders just picked up some big endorsements, some from big PACs out there?
Well, he's picked up a number of endorsements. That's true. I mean, he's looking good in the polls. He's turning out big crowds. But then again, he's sort of the Democratic Trump. He's the temper tantrum of the Democratic Party, which is saying, this is what we'd really like to do. But, I mean, if Bernie Sanders were the Democratic nominee, he wouldn't carry five states.
Yeah. Well, it seems to me, though, that it is a large part about how much money is raised. Look at Rick Perry here in South Carolina. Yesterday, he was supposed to be in Greenwood. He canceled that. He's doing a couple of things around us, but not right here in the area. How many people do you think we're going to end up with going into Iowa? You know, how many will still be standing?
Well, let's see. We've got 17 Republicans and 5 Democrats. Let's call it 6 Democrats because Joe Biden, I'm sure, will run after his little sabbatical in South Carolina. So that's 23 major party candidates, by far a record. Going into Iowa?
Yes.
I don't know. You might see a few dropouts. As you mentioned, Rick Perry, he's stopped paying his staff, and that's a bad sign this early on. He's got to do something to elevate himself and get some money coming in, or that'll be a problem. But I suspect you'll still have 20 going into Iowa of the 23. And coming out of Iowa, that'll be whittled down probably to 12 or 15. And coming out of New Hampshire, then you're going to see it whittled down to probably 8 or 9 because... that's when real votes are getting counted.
Sure. Well, I've written it down. We'll see how close you are on that. But
oh, you're going to hold me to it. Oh, okay.
But, you know, I was in the news. You know, they're opening up the Cuba embassy today.
Oh, yes, of course. We're having the Stars and Stripes fly in Havana and having the Cuban flag fly in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. A great day for two-bit, ten-horn dictators.
I thought it was very interesting that this also, weren't they saying that it was the end of World War II when it's the opening of the Cuba embassy? I mean, that's kind of interesting.
Oh, yes. Well, that's true. Yeah, we've got the 70th anniversary of the end of World War II. And, well, of course, we almost had World War III coming out of Cuba. So, yeah, there's a certain irony there.
Yeah, so... But anyways, those are just some of the things. And I wanted to ask you, you know, William Shatner is going to host Star Trek's first ever official cruise.
I've heard about that. We're going to try to get William Shatner on my program. I've interviewed Shatner, let's see, 1, 2, 3, I think 4 times I've interviewed Shatner. So we're going to try to get him on to talk about that.
Well, I think that should be very interesting. You know, particularly it would be great if they had the Star Trek Enterprise as the ship, you know, if it was a cruise and it was decked out like it was the Star Trek Enterprise.
Oh, you can rest assured that the ship, whatever it turns out to be, the name of the ship, it'll definitely be a very Star Trekky. I mean, they've got let's see, Jonathan Frakes, executive officer from Next Generation, Martina Sirtis, who is the counselor Troy from Next Generation. They got Shatner, and they got one other guy. I forget which one he is, but they've got four principal Star Trek characters from three different series of Star Trek. So, have you ever been to a Trekkie convention?
I have not. Have you?
I have. I went to one not because I'm a Trekkie, but because, although I enjoy the show, but I went because I was interviewing Nichelle Nichols, Lieutenant Uhura from the first Star Trek. You have to understand how seriously people get into this. Oh, my goodness, dress up in costumes. I met people who would only speak to one another in Klingon. I mean, you know, they wouldn't say, where's the restroom or pass the salt, without it being in Klingon, the artificial language that was invented for that series. People get into this in a big way. That cruise is going to be strange. I've been on a couple of cruises, and cruises are a lot of fun, but a cruise ship filled with wacko fanatics, well, it could be fun or it could not be.
Well, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about, is he going to get in good shape, or is he going to be like, what is he? He advertises the, negotiator. Yes, there you go, price negotiator.
Oh, the Priceline negotiator, which Shatner, of course, that's about all that he does, really, these days. He no longer, of course, is Denny Crane on Boston Legal, so that's his gig pretty much.
Yeah, so I'd just like to know, is he going to get in good shape for this? You know, is he going to reprise his image, or is he just going to say, hey, I'm older and better and there's more of me now?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting to see him dressed up in a Captain Kirk uniform, that form-fitting uniform. I'll be curious about that. But Shatner is a very self-effacing individual. He's never really taken himself that seriously, and I think that's a charming part of his character. So I'm sure he'll be the life of the party on that cruise.
Yeah, it sounds like it would be a lot of fun. And then I found another story. Did you hear about Uzbekistan Airways is planning to weigh the passengers along?
Yes, Uzbekistan Airways is going to weigh passengers, and that will determine your fare. Now they do promise to keep your weight secret. They won't tell the world, but although I suppose if you get sent to cargo class, that might be a hint. But yeah, they're going to do that. They're actually going to do that. Unfortunately, you know, very few of us fly Uzbekistan Air, so it may not affect us.
Well, I didn't realize that Samoa Air had...
Air was the first to do it. Yeah.
Yes, back in 2013.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that could be very interesting. Yeah, they're not actually going to tell you, Jim. They've just got a scale, and it has the number right above when you step on the scale. But they won't announce it.
Yeah, no, they promise not to announce it, but they will use that to determine your fare. So, you know, you'll have to decide to go on a diet before you get on board Uzbekistan Air.
Yes. Jeff was telling me that when he was, I think it was, he said, in Africa back in, the 60s, that they used to weigh that, yes, your luggage and your weight, and people used to run around and try to buy other people's luggage so that their luggage and themselves could go on the plane.
Huh. Well, I hadn't heard that.
Yes. He was talking about goats. This was back in the dark ages, Jim.
Well, the Dark Ages, that's when I grew up, Ann. that's my generation.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, I don't exactly believe that, but this is what Jeff was telling me when I started telling him about that story.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so anyways, interesting stuff out there in the world, isn't it?
Well, it certainly is. It's never a dull world, and that's one of the joys of having a job like we have, that you get to talk about interesting things, and there's always something interesting coming along. I mean, it never stops.
So what do you got coming up on your show tonight?
Oh, tonight, among other things, we're going to talk with a woman named Letitia Kirk, who was Elvis Presley's private nurse. We're going to have her on tonight in the midnight hour, And we're going to talk with Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answers Man, about some of the economic problems in China. They've devalued the currency. It's given our stock market the jitters. They've got a housing bubble. So we'll talk about a few things like that as well. And we're also going to talk tonight about Will Rogers. That's in our midnight hour. Will Rogers, and we're looking back on 80 years since he was killed in a plane crash. And then we're going to talk with his great-granddaughter tonight.
Wow, how about that? You know, they're doing the big auction for Elvis Presley. Is that was that the relationship there with the nurse?
No, the nurse has written a book about her experiences with Elvis. She has no contact with the auction, which was last night, and I haven't heard any of the outcome, unless it's more than a one-day auction, but I know it started at least last night, and as far as I know, she has no contact with the auction whatsoever.
Okay. Well, those are some of the interesting things in the news. My last story I wanted to share with you, maybe you heard about this one up in Anchorage, Alaska. Authorities wanted to talk to a man who donned a fairly realistic bear costume, head to tail.
I missed that one.
Okay. And he wore it when he was harassing a bear and two sows trying to feed on pink salmon at an Alaska river.
Wow. Well, everybody needs a hobby. What can I tell you, Ann?
Well, I just thought that might be an interesting story. I mean, can you imagine being in a bear costume and going after two other real bears?
No, I cannot, especially if the other bears decide to take umbrage at that. I mean, those Alaskan Kodiak bears are big and they are mean. I wouldn't care to do that, no.
Well, one of the officials says, this is not the first time we've encountered a man in a bear suit.
There are just a lot of crazy people out there. I mean, I cannot believe anybody who's ever actually been anywhere near a Kodiak bear would ever do anything to attract their attention. They are the biggest carnivore in North America. And in fact, I guess they're the biggest carnivore on land in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, only the great white shark is bigger.
Yeah, can't you?
So, no, I wouldn't want to attract their attention. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, the bears were more interested in the salmon that they were catching out of the river than they were out of this fake bear.
Well, he can consider himself very lucky.
Exactly. Well, listen, I sure appreciate you calling in and being a guest host with me this morning.
Always a pleasure, Ann. Thank you so much.
All right. We'll be talking to you soon.
Okay, Ann. You take care.
All right. That is the one and only Jim Bohannon right here on WCRS.